We're here again, right? We knew I was here, right? One of these pastors was teaching us yesterday was that, you know, when man comes together for a meeting like this, I will put honor on it. God puts his honor on it as well. And pastor also said that where God puts his honor, we should put our honor. Right? I will believe and trust that a meeting like this is a meeting where we would have fresh experiences, fresh encounters, revelation of God's word, revelation of God's power. Right? Yesterday was dynamic. Right? And, you know, I'm just here to let you know that there is much more. There is much more! Yes. In this session, there is much more. Yeah, we're going to receive everything. Everything. You see, what we're going to see in Edinburgh, we're going to see eyes seeing, knees bowing. Right? We're going to see men in their number. And that's going to boomerang into Scotland as a whole, into the United Kingdom, into Europe, and all over the world. The Spirit is lighting hearts. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, we're here again. And as the sun is, you know, coming out again on this faithful day, we're here again to receive of the ministry of my pastor, a faithful leader, right? And, you know, yesterday, pastor, you know, somebody had reached out to me privately to speak about the twin. So he's the twin, and, you know, he said his brother is the twin, actually. And they were together in ministry, and all of a sudden, some financial, he's from Cameroon, actually, tuned in from Cameroon yesterday. And he said some of the people, some of the things that he got some money and started, in fact, asked him to close his church. Was that deep? So, you know, I just said, as pastor, I said, he receives it and he believes for it. And we believe that we're going to have much more restorations like that. Much more restorations like that. You know, in life, generally, you will find out that we're products of men. Is that correct? Yeah? Everybody needs a man in their life, right? And the man I have chosen, and I know that God has chosen for me, is Pastor Segun that we have here today, right? And when we have him in our midst like this, the privilege. So one of the things we need to find out, we need to get our hearts to do, is to be ready to receive everything. You know, there is that, there's such a thing as, you know, a shortcut that God brings your way with his man. Are we together? Right? Where God will just place a man between where you are and where you need to be. Right? And it just serves as a bridge. And you know, we have that bridge right here today. Right? You know, when I was just, you know, preparing this morning, I just remember the exact words, you know, of my dad, you know, a few years ago. And he spoke about how, you know, we're just going to ensure that we'll pack all the materials. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Right? Imagine the wealth of materials that we have from pastor. Imagine the wealth of materials. And pastor, I know you know this, but in nations and countries where you don't know, your messages are turning life, changing life. Men in their numbers. I remember doing NYC, right? I was just, you know, privileged to preach in the, at the SCCF. And someone listened to me. I said, wait, you sound a lot like Pastor Shego. I was like, oh yes, that's my pastor. That was like 2017, right? I remember someone again came to church, God's Palace, a few years ago, and was rejoicing and celebrating that, oh, you sound a lot like my pastor. So her pastor was somewhere in another state, right? And I said, if I sound like your pastor, then it means that your pastor and I are listening to the same person. Who's your pastor's pastor? And that's how I got connected to our pastor, right? And we found out that, yes, it's the same Reverend Segun Onaenka, right? We're so grateful for pastor. Lovely to have pastor. We're honored again to receive him. You know, we trust that we're going to experience open heavens here, right? Yeah? And we're here to drink. Yesterday is not enough. Are we together? Yesterday was full, right? But do you see, I have some space. I have some space, yeah? See, there is space. Say there's space. You know, there ought to be something called spiritual deworming, right? So you just, okay, you've dewormed overnight, right? And there's much more to receive today, right? So we trust, please help me again. Welcome again to the podium. My pastor, father, prophet, Pastor Segun Onaenka.
Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands. I just love to praise you. Strange, foreign, whether it's genetic, the name of Jesus is above every name. I didn't know scriptures like I do today. I know very little scriptures. I didn't know even healing scriptures. But all I remembered was a song by Domway. You are the Lord that healeth me. You sent your word, and that was it. I was given 6 months because that packed up. Because I was misdiagnosed for having fever. Then they said, what's the other disease? Sickness. It was just regular. I was going to the hospital regularly. I mean, it was so regular, the nurses knew me. Queen's Hospital, Dubai, Ibadan. Tressily, the daughter of the owner, now started attending church. You know. And they said, oh, welcome. And I'll go upstairs and go and lie down on my bed. So they thought it was regular fever. Malaria. I kept having low symptoms till I was diagnosed by Dr. Adeoye Aina, you know, of Mercy Group Clinics, Abeokuta. So he diagnosed and said, look, this has gone long for, it's gone too long. And then he, in the middle of it, now told the story of a prime minister of one country that died of the same thing. So I was hearing an exegesis of my problem. But I knew the name of Jesus. I couldn't go beyond 7 o'clock. I had to take this, take that one. They were very bitter stuff. And I had a very sweet tongue. I had sweet tooth. I like to drink sweet things. Imagine to now be compelled to take bitter things. But I knew the name of Jesus. As we are singing that song, I believe, like you do, that his name is exalted above any name, above a liver condition in the house, above a heart condition in the house, above a breathing challenge in the house, above a knee problem in the house, above a child who can't speak loud in the house. That name is exalted. Far above any sickness and disease. It could be your colleague at work too. That name is exalted, far above a hearing problem, far above anyone that can be named. If it has a name, there's a name of Jesus. If it has a name, there's a name of Jesus. If it has power to kill, there is the power in the name of Jesus to heal. So we match it aura for aura and greater aura in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes the devil beclouds our judgment by reminding you of somebody who believed and never got healed. Well, right now, remember the ones who believed and got healed. Because that's the one we're going to get to this morning. So we're going to sing that song again. and the healing power of God will flow. Those watching, those not here, we exalt his name. Now exalt your name. And apply it with the name. Memory now, come on. Memory. There's an imagination you should laugh at now. You know, about some years before, actually 94, I had good relationship with Prophet Obadari's daughter. So we had just gone to a place. A woman, her tummy was, bulging up, very big. So she just laid hands on it. Whoop! Right in the woman's someone else's house, sorry. The stomach just went down. Gah! Hey? You know, I had just given her a book on how faith works. She didn't even read it.
She showed me how it works. So I left the place. I went somewhere else. With that, you know, inspired, you know, testimony. I saw it myself. Prayed for someone. So, I mean, the person was believing God for a child. She was married to a Muslim. No. She was a Muslim married to a Christian, sorry. So the Christian wasn't a serious Christian. She was believing God. So she got, eventually. So as I prayed for her and all that, so I was leaving, I heard it loud and clear, "You won't have children." I started laughing. I said, "You're a very stupid person. You don't even know what to tell, that kind of stuff." You know, it's good to let the devil say some of those stupid things and you laugh. It will come in imaginations. You know, you won't be on that hospital bed. So laugh that way. Normalize laughter at the devil. Normalize it. Hallelujah. You should make it normal to laugh. When that imagination crosses your mind, you just say, it's a joke, huh? Like you say, ain't it? It's a joke, ain't it? It's a joke. Say what? Say what? I'm more than a conqueror. Woo! Oh, gee. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The coming days are better. And they are here already. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And that couple watching us, well, both of you stretch your hands here and say, "We take it now." Yep. Your testimony is this year, 2025. Yes. Yeah, you're watching us together. Yep. Take it now. It's yours. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. You know, there are burdens in this room just before I preach. There are burdens, heavy burdens. Some of you are practically worried. You sleep worried, wake up worried. Oh, blessed be God. Just lift those hands and just laugh and rejoice. Laugh and rejoice. Laugh and rejoice. You sleep better from today. Yes, you do. You sleep better. You laugh going to bed, you wake up laughing. Because the power of God is working on your behalf. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is not obeying my time. I said 2 minutes. God has disregarded my time. So let's just obey God. Oh yeah. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And your mistakes won't stand against you. No, they won't. Your mistakes won't stand against you. No, they won't. Power of God corrects everything. And there's no shame to you. There's no shame around you. The power of God covers it all. Hallelujah. Your mistakes won't stand against you. They are in the past and in past for good. The days that are here are better. So look forward to greater things. Never look back again. When you look back, you will see the power of God work for you. Look forward. Expect. Expect. Let nothing dampen your hopes. Expect. 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 When you believe, you expect. 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 Let nothing dampen your expectations. Expect. Expect. You see, sometimes in that expectation, greater things will happen. Expect. Expect. And listen, don't allow a foul mood around you. Speaking to like four people, you had this foul mood, just suddenly just slip into a mood of, you know, self-condemnation, pity, you know, anger is the enemy. And you need to spot it now and intentionally get rid of it. Intentionally get rid of it. You know, it has a capacity to damage the home. Yep, it does. And it will sow seeds even into your children for a long time. So stop that trend and just be full of joy. You know, Wednesday, man, I was talking to them in church. I said, why? Couples, they don't joke. I said, come on, in my house, we joke. They tease me a lot. My son will hit my head and will joke, and we, you know, he will say, sit down there, and we, I said, don't let the devil have that room. People can be very spiritual in prayer, but act on the prayer, they won't act on it. Be frowning in the house, boning over. What is wrong with you? Be full of joy. Be full of joy. Hallelujah. By the way, the whole world is not on your head. One person has it in his hands. And it's not sad. It's not sad. So which one is your own? Moody, moody. No, stop being moody. Even dear Moody was not moody. Be full of joy. Be excited. Thank you, Lord. But I made an error. Welcome to the club. Only one person didn't make an error in the Bible. And good enough is God. Hallelujah. Every other person has something to correct or get better and all that. And so you would always have to. So straighten yourself and that's all. Move on. The coming days are better. Do you notice that many preachers, when they're explaining God's word, what blesses you the most is how when they explain their own mistakes, it just blesses you. Why? Because the Bible is full of redemption. The Bible is a story of redemption. Miss it, God helps you to get it right. That's the story of the whole Bible. And yours won't be different. Amen. Let's just thank God. Give him praise. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 As we speak, someone who has been bedridden since March gets up.
heal, strong, strengthened. As we hear, as we speak, stroke can't happen. It won't happen. It won't happen. So that body is totally healed. As we speak, arthritis is gone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. And to parents, just hear this. Your sons and daughters will serve God.
Yes.
Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus, we thank you. Oh, lift your hands and bless them. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Sing, 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 sing. Jesus, we thank you. Is here and is reaching more nations. Thank you for this church is going to spill into different languages few years to come. And we see it and say it. Thank you for many in this room whom you are sending now to accomplish different things with the gospel. Among different groups. And that's happening here now. There are unique groups around us. And God, in this conference, will impart different people differently to reach unique groups. And that uniqueness will cause you to let down some of your own sentiments, put it aside, and just follow God's leading. Here, unique groups. You know, the world is split into tribes, tongues, ethnic groups. It's also split into ideologies, philosophies, behavioral patterns that have multiplied, disobedience, sin, innovations. And as we are in this conference, we have individuals who are placed already among such unique groups. The hand of the Lord is on you in that unique way to reach out. So you're going to reach out more. Reach out more in the love of God, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to reach out more to unique groups. And the growth of the churches, the growth of the churches will accommodate groups and go beyond a particular group. Accommodate people that might even look like rejects in churches. But after a while, you will see those who will step into the plan and purpose of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in this conference, listen well. There'll be things said on the pulpit. There'll be things said on the pulpit that you will hear for you uniquely by the Spirit of God. That immediately as those words are said, images will come before you
and a mission appears. And then you'll be able to do what God wants you to do. So listen well and pay attention to the things that are being said, for their words and pictures of the things you ought to do, and you will do them. Amen. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. As we approach the written word this morning, thank you for light that you bring to our hearts. We ask and receive revelation knowledge. Without hindrance, revelation knowledge with clarity and simplicity. And together we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified as we are edified and strengthened by the power of your Holy Spirit to be much more effective ministers of your word and spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether to say good morning. We've had a nice time already. Amen. I want to again appreciate Pastor Joshua for this opportunity and privilege. Can you please appreciate him for me? Thank you again. And mommy, our mommy, shall I say, our young mommy. Thank you very much, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Everybody, I appreciate a few people around you. You know, if somebody's not smiling, lay hands on the person. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Can you have your seats? Amen. Acts 3. Just do some teaching of the word. Amen. Acts 3:19. All right. So yesterday we began to look at the importance of the book of Acts. And we said the book of Acts is action-packed, right? Uh-huh. And it shows you how the Great Commission was carried out. Mark 16. Okay, Matthew 28:18. All authorities given me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, verse 19, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you. Verse 20. Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. 17. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. After then that Jesus said those things to them, he went up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Then verse 20 says, they went forth everywhere, preaching the word, and the Lord walking and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So we see that he gave them a commission. He told them something to do. I learned this from Dr. Miles Monroe. I listened to a teaching of his, 92, really, in the house of my friend, Deto Yogule, Joyce B area, Ring Road, Ibadan, Nigeria. And then he made one remarkable statement. He said, you don't come to church to just have a great time. I said, I thought that was a real thing. Just be blessed. He said, God calls people to give them a mandate, that there's always a responsibility. So I made up my mind that every time I speak anywhere or go anywhere to receive, I must find out, God, why did you call this meeting? What's it that you are doing in the earth that you want me to know of and get involved with? And so you should, and that's important, because at the very end of the book of Acts 2 is a mandate. At the very end of the four gospels, all the four, the three synoptic, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then the book of John, had something you had to do. Same as Luke 24. Luke 24:25 says, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, you know, he saw his own disciples and said, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now in verse 45, he said, these are the words which I speak to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms concerning me. Then he opened the understanding, 45, that he may understand the scriptures. Thus is written to behold Christ, to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And 47, he says, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So they ended that also with a mandate, something to do, a mandate. John 20 and 22, he came and said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins, 23, you remit, are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, are retained to them, unto them. So there's a mandate at the end of it. So when we get born again, there's a mandate upon our lives as well. So Having said that, how did they carry it out? How did they carry it out? You know, how many of you have gone to school? Well, we all went to school, one way or the other, but you didn't see exactly what you learned till you saw it. You know, I mean, those who went to, who studied law in Nigeria will know this. There'll be some guys very brilliant when it comes to, you know, shall I say, theoretical work. But when it comes to the courtroom, it's different. Where you have to put to work. The first time I appeared in court, me, a preacher, I was, virtually everybody has that experience. They will know, it's your first time, right? You know, it's very different. It's very, very different. So, there are some folks, they will know that Jesus gave a great commission. Yes, he told us to go into all the world. Okay, how? The how is the book of Acts. So the book of Acts puts action, activity to the instructions that Jesus gave. It puts action and activities to the instructions that Jesus gave. So we must pay attention to it. You know. Now, let's go back to what we emphasized yesterday. In verse 19, Acts 3 again, says, repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I showed us last night that there was something they preached alongside forgiveness of sins that can easily be downplayed. Now, let's give a background so you understand. Now, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, if you back up a little bit, it talks about, this is Luke, obviously, wrote to the same person that the book of Luke was written to, Theophilus, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Acts 1. Then, in verse 4, he now says, Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. He said, wait for the promise of my Father, which you heard of me. John baptized with water, but not many days hence you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, that's John the Baptist. Now, if there was someone who was the forerunner of Jesus, who told us who Jesus was first, in fact, his ministry was so important that when they were going to replace Judas in Acts 1, 20 to 22, his bishopric left another take. They said, now, we're going to look amongst us, of all these men who had followed us, from the baptism of John. So, the indicator was, if you were going to be made, so every church must have that parameter. From the baptism of John till the day he was taken up, one who went in and out amongst us, that means the person didn't miss meetings, didn't send a text, sorry, Pastor Joshua, I won't be around today. You know, sorry, sir. There was a member of church back then, you know, he told me, sorry, yes, sir. And I said, come, let me show you something. So, you know, there's this way you can type and find out how many times that word has been sent to you from the same person. So I showed her how many sorries she had said and how many I apologized. See, this is enough to make me a billionaire. I said, if every member of church did this, do you think we'll have a church at all? I'm sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I couldn't. Everything is couldn't. Ah, what kind of commitment is that? But we're going to replace Judas. He had to be somebody who was always punctual, who was with us from that baptism that John preached till the day Jesus was taken. So that means that in just one chapter, John is mentioned 3 times. Acts 1:4, Acts 1:5, now Acts 1:21 and 22. Baptism with John preached. Now, you look at that, John the Baptist, yes. Now, you go further and you read Acts 10, first of all, when Peter was in the house of Cornelius, in verse 36 to 37, said, God sent that word, you know, and John, from the baptism of John, which was not that 37. So, it's part of their sermon. What John said about Jesus was a core part of the apostles' teaching. Then Acts 11, when Peter was also going to defend what he now Cornelius, he reminded them again, verse 15, 16 and 17, about what John said. Then Acts 13, 26 25, 26, I suppose. When Paul was preaching, let me check that. When Paul was preaching, yep, and was talking about 24 and 25, pardon me, he said again about John, that John was one that fulfilled his course and pointed Jesus to us. Ha! John features again. Then Acts 18, from 24, 25, there was now a man called Apollos who knew only the baptism of John. See how many times John is featuring. He has featured in chapter 1. Obviously, has an effect in 2 because it's what he said in 1 that happened in 2. John features again in Acts 10, then 11, now 13, now 18. In Acts 19, when Paul went to Ephesus, what did he say again? He said he saw some disciples of John. Then he says, unto what? He said, have you heard, seen the Holy Ghost? He said, we've not heard whether there be the Holy Ghost. Unto what then were you baptized? Again, he said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul in verse 4 said, John indeed preached the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on whom that should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. So if there's someone who can tell you who Jesus was, it's John. The apostles held John's words. Why? Because it was that prophet who pointed out who Jesus was. And not just that, what he came to do. So we must pay close attention to the emphasis and the direction that John gave to us about who Jesus is. Don't forget that the writers of Scripture penned it well, that his birth preceded that of Jesus. And in Luke 1, we had, and Luke 2, we had two miraculous births. The one of John and the one of Jesus. Very identical. The only difference was, Mary was unmarried. Do you understand? That was the difference. But they were both miraculous births. And when you read what Zechariah said, precisely from verse 67, 68, he spoke about how John will be the one to point out, is the voice of that one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, Mark 1, 2, and 3. So it was an obvious thing that John would be that person who will point us to Jesus and what he came to do. Isaiah 40, verse 3 was John's ministry, Malachi 3, 1 to 3 as well. So John will definitely give us some information that we really need. So let's pay attention to what did John say about Jesus. You know, many times, and we've been making this emphasis for a while, we focus a lot on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when people hear that, they believe. And they now ask the question, so what's this about? Well, keep holding on till the end. Hold on, you know. And then the argument starts. Whether you can hold it or you cannot hold it, then the fight will start. Whether you can lose it or you can gain it, then the fight will start. But let's put that aside. And let's listen to John. What did he say about Jesus? Remember, it was... Now, look at the events that preceded the baptism of John. They had not much mention. The birth of Jesus was only... We only had two commentators give us more facts. Matthew, obviously, majorly from what must have been the father's account, because he pointed us to, you know, the father's lineage and all of that, and how the angel came to Joseph. That's basically, and of course, again, if you look at Matthew 2, it was a dream, the vision that Joseph had that made them flee. So it was more of the man's account. Luke is the woman's account, very detailed. Very, very detailed. You see, that's a detailed account. It's only, I mean, if you ask many husbands here, what we'll know is that we saw the child. Do you understand? It's the woman that will give you the motions, how it happened, you know, why she went to Elizabeth's house. Very detailed. The man's one is very brief, you know, a few chapters, verses, and we're gone. But the woman was detailed. But notice that all they could give us was barely two chapters. Matthew 1, Matthew 2. Luke 1, Luke 2. Then Mark was just a few verses. John almost went absent. You know. So where did everybody start? The baptism of John. That's the major place where everybody started. Matthew 3, Luke 3, Mark 1, John 1. It's what is common. Because it's what we need to see. Remember, we said in Acts 1 that when Judas was going to be replaced by Matthias, it was from that baptism. What was it about that baptism? That was the emphasis. Matthew 3, verse 11 and 12. What did John say about Jesus? He said, I indeed baptize you with water. He that comes after me, he said, is greater than I. He says, the sandals of his, the latches of his sandals, I cannot untie. He will baptize you. Now, when he says he comes after me, you know, Jesus didn't come after him in the sense of chronology. So he's really talking about ministry. He says he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Then he says, and with fire. Matthew 11, 3, 11 and 12. Then 16 and 17. We saw how in the vision the Holy Ghost came on him like as of a dove. Mark 1, 8. He said, I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Look at that emphasis. Luke 3, 16 and 17. Just arguably the same thing Matthew said. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John 1, 32 and 33. He which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Did you notice that only once did John talk about sin? John 1, 29. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. His emphasis about the ministry of Jesus was a baptism with the Holy Ghost. So, if we take those words to heart, and we say, why did Jesus come? And you say, he came to rescue us from sins. It's an inaccurate statement. It's not a lie, but it's not complete. He came to save us from sins. You can also say, and baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? Four accounts of the four Gospels show us that the mission of Jesus was the baptism with the Holy Ghost. The mission of Jesus was the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Saves from sin, no doubt. John 3:16. But to also baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Are you there? So look at Acts 1 again. After Jesus, you know, Acts 1 and 2, he had given commandments to the apostles through the Holy Ghost whom he had chosen. And with 40 days, he had shown them, verse 3, with many infallible proofs, you know, speaking to them concerning the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Then in verse 4, he says, wait for the promise of my Father, which you heard of me. Look at what he called it. The promise of my Father, which you heard of me. Where did they hear it from? Verse 5, from John. Who's following what I'm saying here? Look at that emphasis. Wait for the promise of the Father, which you heard of me. Luke 24 and 49. We stopped at 47 the last time. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name of all nations, preaching of Jesus. Verse 48. You are witnesses of these things. Then 49, we mentioned it yesterday. He said, behold, I send the promise of the Father, of my Father, upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Are you there? Yes, so Jesus asked them to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts 1:4, same thing. What is it? What was he talking about? Verse 5. Acts 1:5. John baptized with water. Not many days hence, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So, why did Jesus die and rise from the dead? To forgive us of our sins and baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Not either or. No. And maybe I should say this. This might upset not you here. You are well taught. You know? Do you know that one doesn't outweigh the other? There has been so much emphasis on forgiveness of sins that the believer does not even know his purpose. He doesn't know what his purpose is. He doesn't know what it's for. He doesn't know it. Our sins are forgiven. Glory! Glory! Yes. But look at what he said. He said, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So in verse 6, they came together. And knowing what he was talking about, don't forget verse 3, says that he was talking about the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, the way the term kingdom of God has been taught is more like, you know, having a visa to go to a place. You know, so you queue up at the altar call to get the visa to go to the kingdom of God. So you'll now be waiting to get to the kingdom of God. You know, we would have songs along that line. We're going somewhere. But if we just change the meaning of kingdom to the rule and reign of someone, that's what it is. The rule and reign of someone. That's what it is. The rule and reign of a king is his kingdom. The rule and reign of a king is his kingdom. So when a man is born again, so John 3:3 will make sense. Very, verily I say unto you, a man by the name Nicodemus came to Jesus. Oh, Rabbi, thou art the teacher, come from God. For no man can do this miracle except God be with him. John 3:2. Then Jesus answered and said to him, very, verily I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then Nicodemus asked him, is it possible that when a man is old, he's entered into his mother's womb to be born the second time? Jesus answered him again, very, very, I say unto you, except a man is born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel also said you must be born again. The wind blow away, at least you hear the sound, you can't tell where it's coming, where it's going to, so it's everyone that's born of the spirit. You notice that what he said was to enter into something and to see it. That's not a place. The rule and reign of Jesus as king is his kingdom. The rule and reign of Jesus as king is his kingdom. The rule and reign of Jesus as king is his kingdom. So when he talked to them in Acts 1:3 about the kingdom of God, 2 says he gave commandments to the apostles through the Holy Ghost. He gave commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Then he now asked the question in Acts 1:6. They came to him and said, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So notice that their emphasis was what was happening on the earth. Would you at this time? So he answered them in verse 7. It is not for you, but to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Now interestingly, that word season, all right, and time were interchangeably used in Acts 3:19, the text we read earlier. Then he told them in 8, but you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, pause a little bit, just so that we can get a hold of the word of God on this. Now, when he said, you shall receive power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, the way biblical writers will write, they can't definitely write everything Jesus said. Nobody does that. But in writing, I try to write too. In writing, you use codes to summarize something, which means that rather than quote everything you have said, I will drop snippets, so that I will give work to the reader to go and find out and unpack what I have said. Every writing is a code. It has a world to it. It has a context to it. So what I will do is that I will drop links for you to go and check exactly what the person said. Am I making sense? Now, look at what he said. Look at that Acts 1:5. Acts 1:8, he said he spoke for 40 days. Is it possible to speak those words? Those are all the things he said in 40 days. No. So which means that the writer is simply using what you can call codes. You know, phrases. Now, what we can deduce is that Jesus obviously taught from the Old Testament. Luke 24, 25 to 27, Luke 24, 44 and 45. So it's now for us to go back to the context of what he was saying. When he said you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, that's a code. You need to read the Old Testament to know what it means for the Holy Ghost to come upon. And the different instances where it happened. You shall be witnesses. What do you mean by witness? Not Jehovah's Witness. Well, either way. In Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Pay attention to that. Because that's exactly how the book of Acts was written. The sequence was in that book of Acts. Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then from Acts 13, the uttermost part. So those words were not just added there because of lack of space. You know, when you write an exam and then they give you the question you did not expect. I remember one of these exams we did in church for leaders. This fellow obviously did not know the question. Had read something else. So now decided to answer the question I never asked, but answered it very well. You know, when you are ready for a particular question, but the question did not come out with that way, Pastor, please. I don't know that, but I know this one. I wrote, and I scored the person zero. That was not what I asked you. Sorry for that. I'm not actually sorry. So, you know, where you know that, really, this is the, how did I get here? I was saying something very good. No, I said something after that. No, I said something after that. There was something that led me to talking about the exam. That when you are answering a question, okay, I was saying that the witnesses, no, I said something after that. I don't forget, eh? I said something after that. I said, oh God. No. I said something after that. There was something that led me to talk about that exam story. That the person was answering the sequence. I can't say sequence in the book of Acts. I can't play back what I'm saying. I'll get it. So, you now ask the question, okay, what is he really talking about? Was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth? I said that every writing is a code. They expect you to go to the context of what he's talking about. And that context is the Old Testament. That's the context, because that's the book he had that he's teaching from. Luke tells us that precisely. That's where he taught from. You know, that for 40 days, okay, this is what I'm saying, that it wasn't possible to have seen what they wrote there is not what he said in 40 days. But what they wrote there is enough to take you to what he said in 40 days by giving you links. So the links will direct you there. So when he said uttermost parts of the earth, you see that in Psalm 2, verse 7, when he said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Now, he was talking. Now, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are psalms for a king. That's no doubt. That first one, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I know we use it for everybody, but actually a king psalm. Because it was obviously taken from Exodus 18. Deuteronomy, 17 into 18. Where Moses was talking about when you choose a king, that you shouldn't have a king, but when you choose a king, that king should read from the law, should feed from the law. And you notice that in Joshua 1:8 too, this book of the law, shall depart from your mouth. It was talking to a leader. So those texts are primarily to a leader. You meditate day and night, observe to do, then you will make your way prosper, have good success. It was talking to a leader. So if you take Joshua 1:8, Deuteronomy 17, and you go to Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, you see the same context. So Psalm 1 now leads to Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? And people imagine a vain thing. They guard themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. Obviously, he's talking to the king. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Why did he say that? Because the king really is God. Right? So the earthly king, let's say David, is his image. So if you are against God's anointed, you are against God. That's what he's saying there. Then he says, ask of me and I will give you. Look at, it's like a contrast. They are moving against you. The nations are moving against you. They say, ask of me. I will give you the same nations. Are you following? So that is a psalm for a king. So Psalm 2 is like an invocation, like what you can call an incantation in the African context. Now, my father was a king, earthly king now. And I know some things that were said when he became a king. They are not rituals. They're just, they do it here too anyway. So, and they said those things. And they will say something as far back as his great-great-grandfather, how they captured the town, to just tell him the kind of authority that he wields. You know, so Psalm 2 is just like that. It's the way, when a king is chosen in Israel, number one, the king must be a son of David. Because God told David personally. He said to him in 2 Samuel 7, he said, I will raise up your seed, 13 and 14, after you, to sit on your throne forever. And I will be a father to him. So, because of that promise, every time a king is chosen, number one, he has to be a son of David. Secondly, this will be the coronation rites. That the domain of your kingdom does not stop here. It is the nations and the uttermost parts of the earth. Who's following what I'm saying here? That's Psalm 2. 2 Samuel 7. Now, it didn't start with David. Because it was Abraham that God said it to. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12:3. Then he told him in Genesis 17, verse 5 and 6. He said, kings will come out of you. He said the same thing to Sarah. Kings. When he got to Jacob, told Jacob virtually the same thing. That to the east, to the west, he said, look, it's everything I've given you. So both Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew that apart from the land they were on, that the real deal was the whole world. Are you following? Good. So, when Jacob was blessing his children and he got to Judah, what did he tell Judah? He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver between his feet, till Shiloh come. Unto him shall the garden of the people be. So, obviously, apart from just being the seed of Abraham, whoever will be that king will be from Judah. So all those, Judah praise, that's not what it means. Do you understand? Let's get very serious with biblical things and not just get excited. So Judah was the issue. You know, it was strange because you would have thought it was Joseph. You know, the book of Genesis is a book of grace. It's not where you would think that it will get to. That's why Joseph was upset. Again, why would they choose? There's Manasseh and Ephraim. Me, I chose one. He chose this one. You know, the same person that was chosen differently, you know, will be beneficiaries of something we don't want others to have. Is it not true? So, when he blessed Judah, of course, all that went on. But something strange now happened in 1 Samuel 8. When the children of Israel wanted a king, who did they get? They got someone who was a tribe of Benjamin. His name was Saul. He was everything but what God promised. Number one, he was just a good guy. You know, good business, entrepreneur, very necessary, very likely. When they told him, when Samuel, where he was looking for, you know, his animals, and you know, he was looking, and then Saul said, there's a man of God. You know, imagine, he didn't know who Samuel was. That's a guy that doesn't go to church, he doesn't care, he doesn't even check online. So he's not. So he didn't know who Samuel was. So Samuel said, we're looking for Samuel. Said, I'm the one. Oh, we're the man of God. Can you imagine? Somebody that the whole nation went to look for a king. He didn't know him. No idea. You know, some people, you see them, you say, I've seen this face somewhere. No, he didn't know him. When he gave him the word of wisdom and word of knowledge about where the animals were, he was grateful. When he went back to his uncle to tell him what happened, despite the fact that Samuel anointed him with oil, he didn't tell his uncle. It was no big deal to him. So, did he know I anointed you? Kind of. He didn't really. He was a casual, carnal person. The people's choice. You know. That's why he told him, you know. He said, look, go to the hill. You will see a garrison of prophets coming. Go in there. You too, try. Get around them. So whatever is on them will come on you. That was never said to David. So Saul was like, just go and identify. Go there. You too. When they say, you too, you move your... he was. But when he came to David, he said the Spirit of the Lord came on him that day. 1 Samuel 16, verse 12 and 13. So, now, are you following the narrative? So God now told David. Now, in 2 Samuel 7, David had eaten full field. You know, when you are really full and filled. This is a boy who they didn't even remember was part of the children. He now says, you know, the house of God is not looking nice. He now told Nathan, can't I build something better for God? That God is moving with this tabernacle. They came all the way from Egypt. See, I can afford to give him a 5-star treatment, you know, to build a tabernacle. Nathan said, okay, I'll tell him for you. So he told God, and God said, you build a house for me. You remember where I took you from? You know, God many times reminds us. It's good to. Said, do you know where I took it from? Said, no, you won't build me a house. I will build you a house. And what was he going to build him? People. Are you following the narrative? Well, in Acts 1:8, that's the background, that's the backstory. Remember that one of the names of Jesus was Son of David. That was why his most quoted person was David. On the cross. When he was betrayed by Judas on the cross, when he went into the grave, what Peter was quoting was David's words. When he rose, his words were David's words. Why? Because he was the son of David. Matthew 1:1 calls him the seed of David and the seed of Abraham. That's who he was. God is a covenant-keeping God. God is a covenant-keeping God. God keeps his covenants. He has no plan B. Are you there? So, here is David. Alright? So, now, that's why, you know that psalm, which said, the lions are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yeah, I have a goodly heritage. Unknown to me, I was teaching somewhere, and I didn't know that was their theme for the month. So, I finished teaching. The pastor came to me and said, sir, I understand what you have said, but I'm looking at, is there an application? I said, to what? I didn't know it was their theme. But I told them, I said, that psalm was a psalm of a king. When a king says that the lions are falling unto me in pleasant place, I have a good liberty, he's not talking about contracts. He already owns the whole place. So I explained to them that when he says the lions, now by the time David became a king, you know, throughout the Joshua period and the judges, the land was split up. Israel was split into different territories. They were not together. But when David became king, it didn't happen to Saul too. When David became king, it was the first time since the Exodus, 2 Samuel 5, that the whole nation, they all came together, everybody. And they said, you know, we are flesh and bone with you. They say we are married. We are flesh and bone together with you. Come and reign over us. So it wasn't just king over Judah. It was king over the whole Israel. So when it says the lines are falling, that means all the division have come together unto me in the pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. What's that heritage? The covenant God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is that clear? Yes, sir. So, when he said, I have a goodly heritage, what is his heritage? The heritage he was given, right? That's why David, you see, David's period was the, what do I call it? It was the grandest time. I permit my grammar. Because everybody, the whole nation, you know, was captured. I mean, was recovered. That is why it is likened to the ministry of Jesus. Now, because of that, right, the whole, you know, throughout, except those insurrections from his children, the whole land was under his domain and dominion. They now say, ask of me. That is, there is more. I will give you the nations for your inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. So which means, look away from only Jerusalem and Judea. Look at the uttermost parts of the earth. That is the covenant he gave to Abraham. Is it making sense? So, when he said that to David, of course, he said to his seed, and the kingdom will be forever. So, what has now happened? There's been a lot has happened to Israel. By the time Jesus was born, obviously, someone else was on that throne. It wasn't the seed of David, it was an Edomite. Herod. So, there was a problem with who was king. The religious authorities had split up. There were Pharisees, Sadducees, different denominations, different belief systems. There was now the Roman government. So there was chaos everywhere. So at that point, the audience of Jesus were really expecting a Messiah. Somebody who will put everything right and restore them to the covenant God gave to Abraham. That's what Zechariah prophesied too. And that was when he said, repent. So when he asked them to repent, when John said to repent, they were to repent because they had seen something was wrong. Are you with me? So he now said, I'm not the one, no. That's John. There's one that comes after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. When he said fire, that fire is to cleanse the whole place, but with the Holy Ghost. So they understood what he was saying. Are you following what I'm saying? So typically they were waiting for that Messiah king, somebody who would rescue them, of course, from the Edomites, who would settle all these religious systems and chaos, who would, above all, take them out of the, you know, dominion of the Roman government. So here is Jesus. He comes. They attempted it at all points to come and do this thing. Come and do this thing. Come and do this thing. I mean, if you can raise the dead, if you can come and do this one now, let's plan a coup. Let's deal with Pilate. Let's, you know, they were pushing him. They even at the time wanted to make him king. He disappointed everybody. When he entered Jerusalem, they said, hey, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Matthew 21. They put palm fronds there and say, yes, this is that son of David. When he comes, he will conquer the place. So they were expecting something. Everybody was expecting something. So, by the time he disappointed them, you know, I had, unfortunately, people misread this one too. You know, I had Barabbas. People assume Barabbas was a thief who brings out a gun to collect money. No. He's an insurrectionist. Somebody who was trying to upstage the Roman government. So they arrested him with some of those his rebels. That was why the people chose him. How can you choose somebody who is an armed robber? That's too stupid. They chose him because he ticked all the boxes of the kind of Messiah they are looking for. Armed guy. Do you understand? So we want Barabbas. Is that we want an armed robber? No. We want a coup plotter. We want somebody who can lead armed rebellion. So what was the lesson in that? That people's thinking of redemption was a violent one. That was the point. It's not that people are still choosing thieves over. Stop that. That's not what he's saying. When the scripture is misunderstood, many times a major truth is lost. The idea is that this, how would God's kingdom be like? How does God want to take over the world? You know, the people really wanted the kind of Barabbas one. You know, do this one. And I was a bit like that as a young man. You know, I mean, if you were born in the 70s and grew up in the 70s and 80s, you probably grew up in the military era. So one of my challenges was that my parents tried to make us religious, like your own. You know, and we're forced. And we used to attend the white garment church. So we'd be there from morning till evening. It was bad enough. You know, that you wouldn't eat in the afternoon. So one day, somebody just gave a prophecy and said, I cannot go out of the auditorium, that they are enemies. that had to stay indoors for 7 days. Ah, on a Sunday, unplanned. So I didn't go back home. And those days, we used to watch something, Sunday matinee in the afternoon. And you watch Mil Mascara's Mighty Go Argentina Apollo. Don't worry about it. Don't know what it is. So it's in the afternoon. So I didn't go. I couldn't leave the church. And funny enough, that number 7 Adam Street, that's where the church is. There was no gate. The door of the church was open. Ah, so I felt, what rubbish is this? And you're telling me enemy was coming. Is this not an open door for the enemy? So right there in the church, I made up my mind that I was going to join the army. I was going to plan a coup. And the only reason was to top churches. That the very first day when I planned that coup, and of course, we removed the sitting government, I would sit down and say, fellow Nigerians, we announce the banning of all churches, especially those who prophesy. It was my plan. I'm not joking. Unfortunately, also my dad, because he was a seeker of truth. So his library was filled with books. I read many of them. Anyone you can talk about. Abdul Roshin, Grail Message, Ekanka. I studied them, Islam. So while he was doing morning devotion, I was looking at him. Just let me go to the body house. I will come back and oppose all these things you people are doing. Which Jesus? There was no Jesus. I had read things about Islam. I was well harmed. You know, even before I got to secondary school, I read all Awolowo books. So I used to read. So I was ready. The day I got born again, it was not any complicated sermon. It was just Jesus. And I also didn't like churches at all, because then Deeper Life was just starting. So where we used to stay after school, I tell you, like, after school, where we used to stay after school was very close to the Deeper Life Church, and there would be traffic. So I said, what's going to say church? These people again. These church people again. My grandfather on the two sides were preachers. I said, these people again. No worry. Just let me take over government. I will ban all the churches. But yeah, I got born again. You know, that is why I tell people that they're sorry about the charismatic church. I got born again. It was just a simple sermon. It wasn't, someone that had read many books, you'd expect that what will break me down would be proper explanation, 66 hours. Nope, it was just Jesus died for your sins. That was all. And I just knew that he did. Without any serious explanation. And then this same guy who was rebellious in his heart, ready to argue. When I say, I'll mash out my points for you very well. You know, and I'd read over 10 Rosicrucian materials. Understood it. My mentor was an amok man. Very popular. So I used to read his books out for him. But when he learned I was born again, he said, you. So he called me and he confused me. Because I was just a new convert. He said, do you know this? Where did Jesus go to when he was, before he was 12? When he was 6? Do you know where he learned in Egypt? I didn't even know he went to Egypt. So I said, hey, did you know, why? What did he write on the ground in John 8? I didn't know what John 8 was. He now told me what he wrote on the ground. Eh? He said, so don't let anybody brainwash you. He said, do you know this? Do you know that? Do you know this? Do you know how many Bible translations? I didn't know. But I knew in my heart that I was born again. I mean, I was intellectually ready to oppose the gospel, but I knew inside that I was born again. So I said, I've heard you, sir. But in my heart, I knew it was wrong. I couldn't explain it. But I didn't know. That day, I was born again. Something supernatural happened in my heart. I didn't need a long explanation. It was obviously an encounter with the Savior himself. All my defenses crumbled. Wah! Without anybody arguing against it. Who's following what I'm saying here? And I used to tell people that not too long, you use foundation in Ibadan. It didn't take more than 10 minutes. They just say, come. There's something called baptism with the Holy Spirit. We heard them speaking in tongues. The person who was talking about it did not even know what he was saying. He said, you speak a language that Satan does not understand. I said, okay, no problem. So now, if he had given me one day before they came to me, it would have been difficult. Because I would be asking some questions. So I just spoke in tongues. I knew also I didn't make it up. So I now came the week after I told the guy, I said, this speaking in tongues thing, you know, why are we saying things we don't understand? Things like this. It's for Satan. So that Satan will be confused. And I felt, are you sure it's only Satan that's confused here?
I think the Satan is you and I.
So imagine I had marshaled those things. But there was the power of the Holy Spirit that broke all the defenses that I had. Everything was gone. Everything possible was gone. It was just a simple message. Christ died for your sins. You know, my dad had told me, don't let anybody call you born. There's nothing called born again. He said, love your neighbor. Don't lie. Don't cheat. You get to heaven. Everything just crumbled under the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, church. You see, if we get it right and understand how to follow and flow with the Spirit of God, some of the struggles we have in ministry will not be there. There is the power of the Holy Spirit in the work of the ministry. It's not an intellectual thing. It is supernatural activity. Are we there? That's what it is. Supernatural activity. So those guys were expecting a Barabbas who was going to champion, you know, an upstage room. But here was Jesus. You know, so the king, the son of David they were waiting for was a military ruler. But here was the son of David who was going to win by death. They didn't see that. So pay good attention. You know what I said in Acts 1:8? So when he said to them, don't forget the argument in Acts 1:3 was he was talking about the kingdom. Acts 1:6, they were asking about what again? The kingdom. Are you following the pattern? The rule and reign of a king. The rule and reign of a king. That's what the kingdom is. The rule and reign of a king. So he said to them, you shall receive power. After which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Remember we said that those words are codes. They link you back. So, what do we know he's talking about? Don't forget, he's talking about a king and his rule and reign. Right? Good. And whose kingdom was Jesus connected to? David. So, Acts 1:8. Jerusalem, Judea. Who had all that under him? David. Samaria. Who did God promise the uttermost part of the earth? Is it making sense now? Good. So when he said, you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Okay. Did the Holy Ghost come on David? Yes. That was when his kingdom started. Was David God's witness? Yes. One of the things kings are called in the Old Testament is his witness. So when he says, you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That connects us back to Abraham, right? Isaac, Jacob, then David. Which means that you will be an heir of the world. The whole world will be your inheritance. Let me tell you what inheritance is. No, I know inheritance gets us a bit materialistic. We think inheritance is that somebody leaves property. Mm-mm. The way they did inheritance in Israel, let me quickly explain. You know, we said the lines are falling onto me. What did God give them? He gave them a land. Why did he give them a land? Because that was what he gave Abraham. Now, what did he give Abraham? A land or the whole earth? The whole earth. So what would you call Abraham's inheritance? Now, what is inheritance? Inheritance in the Hebrew and Greek is your part, your portion. So Abraham's portion Romans 4:13 says he became an heir of the whole world. Abraham's portion is the whole world. So when they were now given the land, it was now divided. You get it? It was divided. Okay, you take this part. Levi was the only one that didn't get anyone. So they gave to Benjamin, gave to Joseph, everybody. Levi will now be, pay attention now. Levi will be the priest who will serve on behalf of others. So for his lack of having land, they will now give him a tenth of all they had. So everything is balanced. Do you understand? So, which means, when he got to Jacob and his 12 children, right, they divided it. But in Abraham, it's just one place. When they were leaving Egypt, he called all of them priests and kings. Everybody, Exodus 19, 5 and 6. You are priests and kings in all the earth. But why was now the land divided? That shows you that what was divided is more of God's permission, not his actual plan. Are you with me? So when David became king, he said the lines are falling. Everything is now in one place. I have a goodly heritage. Do you understand? Because he told him in 2 Samuel 5, they said, you'll be king over us, everyone. So, which means even though he is Judah, everything belonged to him. He will now superintend over the whole. Are you following this? Good. So, in Acts 1:8, when they now asked him, would you at this time again restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still thinking about, let's have that David thing, where everybody said, we'll drive out the Edomites, we'll drive out this one. He said, it is not for you. What we are dealing with is bigger than that. If you listen well to what God told David, your mind will not be fixated on this one. He said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations and the uttermost parts. So he said, you shall receive power. After which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So, translate that to me, you will now be the kings. You shall be witnesses. You can use witness and you shall be kings unto me. Are you there? In Jerusalem. In Judea. Now you now pause and say, hey, kings, kings. Where? Kings? Believers? Kings? Okay. Okay, see, like, then you are thinking like Barabbas. You shall be kings unto me in Jerusalem. All Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That is why in John's revelation, he said he has made us kings and priests unto our God. Revelation 1, 5, 6, and 7. And we shall reign where? On earth. Revelation 5, 8, and 9 says the same thing. 1 Peter 2, 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So everyone who is born of God in the kingdom is a king. You can put queen if you like. Is a king. A king like David. So the Spirit of the Lord coming upon is to rule and reign where? In the earth. So when John said, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Are you following? So when he told them, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1:4, he said, the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. Who did God give the promise to? Abraham. How? What did he give him the promise about? The uttermost part of the earth. How will this promise be fulfilled? By the baptism with the Holy Ghost. So, why did Jesus come? He came to die for our sins and to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. I dare say that there's not one which outweighs the other. Without the second one, you won't know the purpose of the first one. The first one makes God look like a demanding, I'm forgiving you. Okay, I'm forgiving you. He's like, okay, so? The second is actually the purpose of the first one. So, when he says, wait for the promise of my Father, which you heard of me, Acts 1:4, Luke 24:49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Then it says, wait where? In the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because that's the starting point. That's the starting point. So, the baptism with the Holy Ghost is not an add-on. You know, after you are saved, you know, you can try this one. You know, you say, you can try this part, you know. This is the main dish, this is the main meal, but you have a dessert, that's Holy Ghost thing. No! It's the main deal! Hallelujah! Hope you are following. Is the real gist there? Let me say this ahead of time. That was why the book of Acts was written. The book of Acts is the book of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It's the main deal. It's not like, okay, I had this one. You know, when you answer, I say, bonus question. No. It's not bonus question, no. No, I was, okay, and I got what I was trying to say. That you think that when he said Jerusalem, Judea, comes for the earth, it's like when you are writing and you are done with answers, you now want to fill up the space. So that they will know, let me say in my Yoruba, say, Iwe. That you are very brilliant. Let's read what you wrote. This is not significant. What is not? Then you begin to write more sheets, more paper. And everything is over the bar. You know, it's like that club that just bought a lot of players. I'll get to that later. What do you need this one for now? Tell us that. So it's not that they just say, Jerusalem, Judea, Jerusalem. What can we add? Judea. What's an area? It's fine. I can't mention all the countries. All that most part of the earth. No. All those words were deliberately said. Deliberately said. So why did Jesus come? For the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Do you know that John did not even talk about his death? He didn't even mention it. Jesus neither talked about his death until a few days to it. The focus was his work, his kingdom. And we said the kingdom is his rule and reign. You learning something? So you shall receive power after with the Holy Ghost. Now, interestingly, what happened to David wasn't the first time. You know, we talk about Saul. In Numbers 11, and look at the significance. In Numbers 11, you know, naturally Israel has 12 tribes because of 12 sons of Jacob. But there was one number that kept also rolling around, and the number 70. You see it in Luke 10. Luke was one who actually recorded this particular one. In Luke 9, Jesus sent out 12. Obviously, it signifies the 12 tribes. Then there was now 70. Now, in the first one, he told them not to go by the way of the Samaritans or the Gentiles. The second set, that was the 70, he said they should go everywhere. Why? Because, now, this is a bit of technicality. In Genesis 10, there was what is called the Table of the Nations. You know, Israel came out in Genesis 12 through Abraham. Before Abraham was called out of all the nations of Genesis 10 into 11. You know, there were 70 nations. So that's what is called the Gentiles. The nations, other nations outside Israel. So before Israel, there were technically 70. Israel was now of course, Israel came after Jacob, no doubt. But let's technically say Abraham. Abraham was now called out of those nations to have a God's covenant people that will do what? That will unite the nations that were just split in Genesis 11. Are you with me? It's all sequential. Genesis 11, the nations wanted to build something, and God asked that they be split. So they were split. Out of those nations, he now called Abraham. What was the mission of Abraham? In you shall all the nations of Genesis 11 be blessed. They will not, blessed means welcome. They will not come back as one unit. So 70 then represents the nations that Abraham was called to unite. Does it make sense?
Yes, sir.
So, in Numbers 11, Moses told God that, look, I'm tired of this work. These guys are just a bunch of, they're just a burden. So I say, Moses is always getting angry. You, just two people will ask you to follow up. You're already upset. You're not talking about somebody, hey. Better thank God for the life of Moses. Hey, if you're a pastor, you know what I'm saying. Some people will try your salvation. Your salvation. You look at them and say, ah! So Moses said, God said, don't worry. You know what? You know what you're going to do. He said, choose amongst men, the elders, who you know, the elders of the people, 70. He said, that's 16 and 17. He said, I would take the spirit that is on you and put it upon them. They will serve together with you. So in verse 25 and 26, 24, 25, 26, the spirit was now put on them. The 70. That's signifying again the mission is to the nations. Now, when that happened, you remember that Joshua now went, you know, there were two guys, Eldad and Medad, they were not there. But Joshua now saw them outside and they were prophesying like the rest. So he went to Moses and said, those two guys, forbid that, you know, they stop. And he said, would you envious thou for my sake? Would to God that all his people be prophets. Verse 28, 29 to 30. And that he will put his spirit upon them. So when he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, it is for the mission. It is for the mission. It is for the mission. You shall be witnesses unto me. So, number one witness, we said king, right? Who does the spirit come upon? In the Old Testament, the king, David. Who else? We just read one now. Prophet. So you shall be prophets unto me. You shall be kings. Who else does the spirit come upon and they are not priests? So the word witness can be split up. You can put a bracket there and say you shall be kings, priests, prophets unto me. So can we safely then say the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the call to ministry? It's not to have Holy Ghost meetings and have great times. Wow, I was so blessed. Yeah, we're going to have that. But it's a call to ministry. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But now notice something. Do you notice that? Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Father. Luke 24, 49. I send the promise of my Father upon. Do you notice that he said upon. Acts 1, 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon. Now, I know many of us have read the Jehovah's Witness Yellow Book. Maybe you didn't read your but we read it. That was even the Bible study my mom used, you know, to teach us the snakes talking and the woman and all that. And when I ask questions, she said, shut up, who are you asking? You don't question the Bible. You know. So We think that when it says upon, it means on the head. No. The word upon simply means that other people will see it. You know, nobody sees your salvation. Do you understand? Is there any way you say, I saw eternal life in you. Hardly will anybody say that. You know, but you know, they will see signs. So which means that the word upon is an experience others will have of you. An experience others will have of you. So, when he said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, was Jesus talking about experiences?
Yes, sir.
Yes, he was. So, the gospel comes with experiences. And the gospel produces experiences. I'm not talking about conduct, though. There's conduct, too. But I'm talking about supernatural, if you like, spectacular things. Things that will step away from the norm and the natural are part of why Jesus came. The blood-bought church is a spirit-enabled people. So, he says, wait for the promise of the Father. Now, notice that he had taught them the word. He had taught them, let's pick Luke's rendition, 40 days. He taught them exhaustively. So if all that was necessary was just to be taught, he had taught them. But that was not all that was necessary. He told them that there is an experience you should have. God is an experienced God. No, he is. Is an experienced God. I told you that if it was intellect, my mentor, my uncle would have confused me. He would have told me, if what he said to me was convincing enough. He told me, and he was showing me, he was very intellectual. Well, in Nigeria to our next thing. So he was explaining. He said, look, and he was not the one quoting the Bible. I didn't know it. I was a few weeks in Christ. I said, he said, do you know this one? He laughed. He said, do you know that Jesus is this? He said, do I know these books that were excluded by the church in Nicaea? I said, Nicaea. I didn't know all those things. I'm just a new convert. Do you understand? I didn't know. He said, do you know this one? What they had read were more of religions. I didn't know these ones he was saying. But you know, deep down, something happened to me that day. I received something. I didn't cook it up. You couldn't tell me. If I went for one camp meeting. I'll mention the church. They don't curse people. Deeper life. So, no, they don't know. They don't fight you. So I went there because I used to attend the church. So, my first few weeks in the faith. And they now said, if you want to receive baptism of the Holy Ghost, come out. But before you come out, they now rolled out the conditions. Internal cleansing, sanctification. When they were done, I said, eh? No, I wasn't going to come out anyway. Because I was already baptized with the Holy Ghost. But when they said all that, and they said, anybody who doesn't have these things is fake. I said, no. It's not fake. It's not fake. I didn't make it up. It wasn't fake. It was the Holy Ghost. But I was confused. But I knew a supernatural experience happened to me. Thank God, one day I now stumbled on a track by Richard Bonke. Hey, I said, this is it. See, there are many of us, we have experiences that we couldn't explain. I often say it like this. Don't expect God to first of all explain things to you. It will take a long time. Things can happen first, then the explanations will come after. How many of you knew exactly what salvation was the day you got saved? Raise your hand and I'll get you saved again. No, you didn't. You simply got born again by faith. We are still learning what happened to us. Why did God wait to do a series? Then say, you know, soteria, sozo. Okay, I'll think about it. No, we got saved first. We became his children first. We became, you know, till now the experience came after. The experiences you have had you are having, and you are having this conference, that will explain it. Years down the line, it will become clearer to you what has happened. I say that the Pentecostal church has suffered from this. There are things that had happened because the Pentecostal church didn't have as many people who can properly situate within scripture. I told someone this. You know, I was talking about where that I and my friends, we once made fun of a preacher who said he put down tea and an angel, maybe the Holy Ghost drank it. And we made fun of the man. And we said, this man, we did it. I won't do that again. The reason why we made fun of it was because we had disconnected the Old and the New Testament. Those were not strange things in the Old Testament. Then who told you God doesn't do it again? 1995. Is it 4 or 5 now? I think it's 4. August. I can mention the names of people who were there. Bimbo Lawansing was there. Kita Emery was there. Shane Ward, that's where I was. Well, quite a number of people. We were over 60 or 70. Somebody brought food. It was a love feast. You used to do love feasts in the body of God. It was love feast. So you bring food. Only one person brought like a small cooler of rice. Only one person, over 50. It was in the Lawansing's house in Ikorodu, Lagos. And we laid hands on it. Everybody ate from that. It didn't go down to our food. If you put down social media, say, hey, Lamba! But we were all there. The thing did not go down. People said, bro, that food is not going down. I said, I can see it. Oh. Victor Oliyire was there. I'm mentioning names. And we all said, I ate it. In fact, I'll add one more. But let me stop there. There were things. We couldn't really explain. Did you get it? That was the power of God. So I won't come today and say, no, the New Testament is not silent. How is he silent? He's not silent, though. He's silent where Philip was taken out and didn't see him again. Eh? If you say that today, I say, he was preaching in Edinburgh, then he was taken and he went to Wales. Go and check his passport. Go and check his passport. We are the first people that would doubt it. But they are supernatural. Yes, sir. They are supernatural experiences. Things that you just see, that's the move of God. So Jesus told them to wait for it. Thank God for teaching. Who keep teaching the word of God? But they are manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And listen to me, the nation of Scotland, United Kingdom altogether, you need to get into these things. You need to get into these things. You see, what you will reach your nation, your continent, is the understanding you will have about the moving of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. The moving of the Holy Ghost. There are things that are first experientially seen before they are taught. Before they are taught. Imagine people having a teaching about people falling under the power of God. What are you even talking about? Why? Somebody was saying one day, he said, thank God for the word. He's listening to me now. He's listening to me. He said, thank God that ever since I knew the word, I don't know all these people rolling on the floor. I know that. I said, boy, I roll on the floor. He said, you? Seriously, Rabbi, are you serious? I said, I roll on the floor. I said, I fall under the power. I said, okay. he had read rubbish. I said, Paul fell. And he wrote half of the New Testament. You better fall. Do you know? It's likely he was on a horse or a cart. And he fell to the ground. You think his body was not bruised? You fall and see now. You think he fell in this kind of place? On the road. Bah! You say, if he's God, why would his body... Let's sit down. I said he wrote half of the New Testament. Pay attention to that. And he went home. They carried him home. Imagine leaving church and say, so, where did you go to? Church. Hey! Roshegun has entered cult. His clothes, rumpled, dirty. Then he cannot see. And he's now praying. Ah! Hey, he knew religion has entered Christianity. And nobody could do. They brought doctors. Nothing was wrong with his eyes. And an eye has now came. Pum! Poof! In the book of Acts. The baptism with the Holy Ghost. It comes with manifestations of the Spirit of God. So what is God's kingdom like? God's kingdom works with the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. The movings of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You shall receive power. After which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be kings. Right? Priests and prophets unto me. That's what you are. That's the identity that you have. That's what you have. And our believer's authority is the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. It's not just an intellectual discussion. Nope. It's the manifestations of the Holy Ghost in the things of the Spirit. That's on the day of Pentecost. Let me get to that. Come to you later on. When what Jesus said now came to pass, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. Suddenly, verse 2, Acts 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the house where they were seated. And there appeared to them cloven tongues, verse 3 of verse 5, sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Experiential. It's not a confession. It's an experience. It's not an affirmation. Thank God for it. No. It's an experience. Hallelujah. When I talk about the move of the Holy Ghost, it's not a confession. Don't say, the Holy Ghost is moving, it's moving. No, it's an experience. Do you know what some have is wrong teaching. I was in Southern Africa 27 years ago this year, and I went to this church to speak. As I was speaking, I knew something was wrong. They were not bad folks. They were good people. They were opening the Bible. They were doing all those things and all that. But I knew something was wrong in the atmosphere. Something was missing. Very similar to what Paul felt in Acts 19:2 when he went to Ephesus. And saw these guys, you know, very cultured people. On the last day, only true believers will be raptured. They were looking fine. But Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost? You know, you can see it. It's not a guesswork. If a believer has the Holy Ghost we are talking about, you won't say it, you will see it. So I went to the man of God, I think the bishop then, and I told him, sir, what do you believe about the Holy Ghost? I said, baptism of the Holy Ghost. People are waiting. We've been through the classes. He told me how many classes they've been to. We do baptism classes. We do this one classes. Some of the time it can take us up to 6 or 7 years before. But you know, I now did not say it to, if you say it to his face, you won't preach the next session. I said, wow. That's great. He didn't ask me what was great. And I told him that's great unbelief. So the evening, I came speaking. You know, of course, I was a bit more radical then. I wore a total jeans material. You know, it looked a bit radical. So I got, and I used to have this punk haircut then. You know, people don't even know. I used to wear bracelets and rings. You know, don't bother. So... But my wife made me like that. So she's probably one of the people that saw me that way. So by the time I got up, I began to speak about baptism with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. And I was just looking through the text. They would check the text. And it was quite a fairly large congregation. They were looking. So the pastor and the bishop and his folks were behind me. I could see they were seething with rage. I didn't look back. So I was just telling them, Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4. And I was, God help me, I was able to quote them through. So I said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost, where they were speaking to us, come out. They now came out in their hundreds. They now probably thought I was going to call them to join me. I was a friend. If I call you, that's plus 4 minus 100. How would I call you? To do what? It doesn't cost me to lay hands on people now. We began to lay hands. So as we're laying hands, you could see that It was ignorance. Ignorance. Who told you people falling, rolling on the floor is demonic? No. At all. They are manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Someone, his tongue struck to the roof of his mouth. Couldn't speak. When I first met my wife, we're already in relationship there. So there was something the Lord told me to keep and not share. Well, you know, I was really in love. So I wanted to tell her at all costs. It was not in our discussion. Just to prove to her that, you see, this guy you are marrying, God has gone. So I began to talk to her. You know, she just said, I can't hear you. I kept talking. She said, I cannot hear you. We both saw like a mist came, and none of us could explain what it was. You know, that was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Now, just after then, I was younger now, so there was this group of leaders in our ministry then. So I went to Tunde Odubela's place. So I shared with them about it. So I asked them the week after what I shared with them. Everybody can't remember that meeting. I still tell them today. They said, no, Pastor, that meeting, I don't know the meeting you're talking about. God made everyone forget about that meeting. I'm the only one that remembers it. They said, no, sir. Maybe it's... I said, I remember everything that happened. Hallelujah. Those are manifestations of the Holy Ghost. So when I told the man, I said, look, no problem. I laid hands on those folks in that church. As the tongues were coming out, you could see that they had studied for years. Some of them spoke in capital letter tongues. As they were speaking in tongues, you could see some anger somehow. They now walk past the bishop. No, brother, Bosha. I knew that was my last day there. But I'd done my job. But you know what you have seen? A difference in the atmosphere. There'll just be something. You won't know how your prayer life was enhanced. It's not about teaching series, though. Some things are better caught than taught. It's not about, I'll study and study and study. No. Some things are just experiential. You just discover that your Bible study just changes. There's a supernatural working of the Holy Ghost. There is. So, thank God for teaching. But thank God for manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And let's be open to things like that. The first time I saw... Now, of course, Youth Foundation Ministry, we used to see things. But when I went to Rema Chapel, around 1993, I saw a very different thing. So I was... You know, in my head, I was trying to question it. That I've seen but this... You know, I just said, no, don't do this. Don't do this. Straighten up your mind. Don't criticize. Don't do that. I just shut my mind. So I just saw the man of God laying hands, and you know, the whole place was in a bit of more commotion than I expected. So for the first time, I heard the words, shut your eyes. And I closed my eyes. I was there with Femi Olubaju. He's a member of Noble House today. So I fell immediately. I just saw under the chair. Yeah? So me and Femi we didn't talk to each other till we got home. We just, How many of you know we all need things like that?
Yes, sir.
You should be open to things like that.
Yes,
be open to the moving of the Spirit. See, forget excesses. Now, human beings get excess. You have your excess. I have my own. So don't blame. Excesses will always be there. They will always be. Don't let excesses create unbelief in your heart. No, don't. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. Why? Because there were excesses in Corinth. But he now told them, forbid not to speak with tongues, convert to prophesy. He warned them. So you can't, because the world is going to mock us, and then start to become an executive believer. Stop that. You are a Holy Ghost believer.
Holy Ghost believer.
You are a Holy Ghost believer.
Holy Ghost believer.
You are a Holy Ghost believer.
Holy Ghost believer.
Like Pastor Joshua was saying, look at the history of revivals. They've been the unusuals. Unusuals. People will, by the power of the Holy Ghost, cause commotion. And it will lead to, you know, a massive harvest of souls. We're in that season. We're in that time. The moving of the Spirit. The moving of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. in this session, the next one, the ones after, be open to such manifestations. You know, be open. There will be people who will just fall. Some will just run. Some will just be glued to one spot. That's how God works. You know, when they were getting the tabernacle, the priest could not enter. Some fell over. That's the move of God. Why does God do those things? Wait for another few years. You see it. You will see why he did those things. You see that those impartations are why we have God's palace today. Those impartations are why we have different ministries today. It's not just the fact they were taught, they had enough information. No! They are the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes hands will be laid on people. You know, there's virtually nothing I see work in my life today that didn't come by laying on of hands. Hands be laid. And you just see things. 1994, I went for a meeting by Reverend Victor Adeyemi. He was teaching on the anointing. 94, on the anointing. So as he taught them, he went to ministry gifts. They started talking about the teaching ministry. I never believed I was going to teach. I just felt I would do some Bible study here and there. And I didn't really see it that way. So he said, if you are called to teach, you know, come. I didn't step forward. I just sat there. I wore a black silk shirt. So he said, you, the black silk shirt, come forward. Yeah. So I came forward. Then he laid hands on me. Said, from today, you teach with clarity. And what you say and the information will be supernaturally given to you. This is the first time I'm going to say this in this detail. Supernaturally given to you that you will communicate even faith to those who are doubting the integrity of the word of God. And he laid hands on me. He said, you will not do that. You will also be able to train those who will teach the word. So he laid hands and I fell for a while. I got up. In fact, practically, I think a friend of mine was one who helped me to my seat. So I just said, okay, if it's true. I think it's been 31 years. I think it has come to pass. Hallelujah. So there are things like that. Supernatural things. Don't be stiff. This is not maturity, oh. They are just, you just say, woohoo, glory. You are not mature. You are actually carnal. People are running around you. You are saying, why are they running? What kind of question is that? Are we not in church? Who else should make us run? It's the Holy Ghost. People are laughing. Say, what are they laughing at? Well, maybe laughing at your unbelief. Hallelujah. People are rejoicing. Why are they rejoicing? Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands wherever you are and just pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord. New experiences. Some of us are due for new experiences. We are due. Some of you are due for new experiences. We are due. You're due for something new. You're due. I won't be yesterday's man. No! Fresh encounters. Dude. Yes, you're due for something. Something fresh and new. You're due for something fresh. Something new. Sister, you're due for something new. Your prayer life is taking a new turn. You used to see things in prayer. It's coming back stronger. And you're getting bolder.
Voices of Volcanoes, Nicks, Vet, 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 Vetos, 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 Juice, Soapbox, Vetos, Vetos, yes! Shall I take it? New experiences. New experiences. Fire all over you. Fire all over you. Glory all over you. Yes. Renew fire. Prayer life is quickened. Quickened. You double up, you double up, you double up. Amen. When I say amen, I don't mean stop speaking, just lower your voice. We are to be speaking all the time. The believer is a speaking spirit. So when I say praise the Lord, it's not to stop speaking, just reduce your voice. Because we are to speak always. Just reduce your voice. Have like four people here. And I'll just say this. You've had disappointments in the work of the ministry, too, particularly about the healing ministry. And it has affected your boldness. But you know, in this session, that gift is awakened again. And you won't wait till the next session to practice it. No. You do it immediately, we're done. You could call someone who is sick. You could act upon it. That which the devil had almost made you agree you lost. It's a lie. You haven't lost it. It's right there with you. And I speak forth now that all over you is a sign of it all over again. Now. All over you now. Let it burn all over you now. And that's it. That's it. You sense it again. You see it again. Flowing all over you now. Indicating how strong His hand is upon you. All over you. Now. Indicating how strong His hand is upon you. You had a strong pull to hold crusades before you got to this nation. But you're finding out, how is it still possible? It is possible. And that is all over you now too. Yep. And what is going on around you will linger for a while. It will linger for a while. You will see it come so strong. And as you pray, I pray with it. Direction as to what to do now will come with it. But my hand on you has not ceased, and my call on you has not stopped. I am still calling you, and I'll keep calling you, and I've not withdrawn that call upon you, and you do what I called you to do. These days are great days. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you praise. Yes. As someone who had been a pastor since you were very young, maybe early in your secondary school days, maybe your first year or second, one of the two,
but you are not pastoring presently. You are just the only one. You are not pastoring presently, and it's been like a crossroads for you. You feel I should lay hands on you. You used to pastor very young to preach the gospel, teach people, but right now that's not what you are doing. Let's have all eyes closed. If you are the one, just come. If you are the one, come. Praise him. That's for many here. What you stop doing, you start doing again. What you stop doing, don't look for an excuse for it. No, don't. And don't read any article that supports it. Take your eyes off it. Stay strong and fervent. I see here people who are pioneers.
Yes, Lord.
I'm saying many, if not everybody. And there are many of you, you don't even know who you are. There's more to you. There's more about you. And in these days, you're finding out. You don't have a lost identity. No, who you are is so clear to you. I hear this. You will not fail. No, you won't fail. You won't fail. You won't fail. Not just in ministry. You won't fail in your family. You won't fail at home. You won't fail at your job. You won't fail anywhere. Your health will not fail. And you won't lose your mind either. Everything is in control. Lord, we thank you. Oh, thank you for the sessions ahead. Thank you for impartations of your spirit. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for the weight of your glory increases in every session. For God's palace and all the ministries that are present here, of all the nations present here, Lord, we stand for millions that we are yet to see. And everyone here is a representative of different tribes, different groups, different hundreds of thousands and millions of people, and we will not fail them. Thank you, dear Father. Let's just bless the Lord and sing. We give you praise, Jesus.